So, Baruch Hashem, that means praise his name. You know, I was glad you did communion, but I was out in the car tonight, and that's what I was kind of, took a little time to get in here because I was studying that a little more in depth. I want to touch on that real quick. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And while you're there, then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Mark that, and then just go automatically to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you know, it's so true of what Jesus did on the cross. But a couple things I want to point out to you tonight, and that is about communion. The seriousness of it is that when we see the nice little picture that the painter painted of a square table, and it's a great picture, but it's not a true, accurate rendition of what that was. Is because in Matthew chapter 26, verse 2, it says, "And you know, after 2 days," this is Jesus speaking, "it is Pesach," or Passover, "the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." So that painting, as great as it is, it's not a true, accurate depiction, because if it was, they'd all be sitting around a table, usually sat circular. They would have been sitting on the ground. They would have had menorahs lit everywhere. And they would have been celebrating a Seder meal, because that's what they were celebrating when that happened. And the significance of that, and that's another teaching, Pastor Jeff and I have talked about possibly doing a Seder meal. We do Seder meals all the time, my wife and I, and explain why it's important, A, to bridge that gap and to still celebrate these feasts, because these are God's feasts. And I'll touch on that in a little bit. But, you know, Matthew 26, he goes on to say, in verse number 27, he said that, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of sins.'" But verse 29, he's giving us a little type and shadow, or he's given us a revelation of what's to come. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Excuse me. So what that's saying is, in a Seder meal, you have four cups of wine you need to drink. So Jesus, out of tradition, drank the first two cups of wine. The third cup he drank, and that was the communion. But the fourth cup he didn't drink, because verse 29 says that. It says, "I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then he also goes on to say, Jesus expounded and said that, "I go to prepare for you a place, and in my Father's house there's many mansions." So the cups that you drink at a Seder meal, the first one is the cup of sanctification, "And I will bring you out of Egypt." Second cup is the cup of deliverance, "I will deliver you from Egyptian bondage," or any kind of bondage. And the third cup is the cup of redemption, "I will redeem you with my power." His power, there's blood. No more powerful force in the world than the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. Revelation says that what? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what? The word of our testimony. That's speaking the word of God. So the fourth cup is the cup of restoration. And that is Jesus saying, "I will acquire you as my people." So I'm glad that I took the time and listened to the Holy Spirit sitting out there. I apologize. It wasn't I didn't want a fellowship, but the Lord had me do this, and it was appropriate. So like I said, Jesus drank the first two cups traditionally. The third cup, I wrote this down, redemption. "This is my covenant of the new blood of the new covenant." And in the cup of restoration, he's going to drink with us. So when we have the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, we're all going to a Seder meal. It's going to be a Seder meal. I mean, and here's another thing. And I do this every time I take communion. And yes, it's the blood. But more importantly, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27, very, very important. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And Pastor Jeff, you touched on that. For this reason, many are you are weak and sick among you and sleep or die early. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And what's he saying here? And I studied this, and I got this revelation on that. And what he's saying is, when you discern the body, when you take the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wrong way, what is he saying? Well, you said that his blood, we just read, cup of restoration. That's the fourth cup, but the cup of redemption, Galatians 3:13 says what? 14, 15. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, so that the blessings of Abraham, or Avraham in Hebrew, might come upon the Gentiles. And what are the blessings? Deuteronomy 28, I encourage you to read that. It talks about what the blessings are, but it also talks about what the curses are. And the other teaching, of course, there's another teaching, but it's called the chuppah, which means in Hebrew, a covering. And that is the Holy Spirit that we have. And we get out from underneath that chuppah and we allow ourselves. That's where the sickness comes in. But I really studied this, and God takes his communion very seriously, you know, not haphazardly. And what does it say, let a man examine himself? Well, and this is something I do. And I've talked to other pastors, and they say, you know what? I do that. I talk to my pastor, not knowing this, but Brother Copeland does the same thing. And what I do is, Lord, from this moment all the way to the time of my birth, I release and forgive everyone that's ever done anything to me. I hold no grudges. I release them. Because what did Jesus say? In Mark 11:23, we know that wonderful verse. But what does he go on to say in verse 26? But forgive. When you ask, stand praying, he says, forgive others so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. So I do that. I did that. I do this all the time. And the second thing I say is, because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, the second thing I say is, I judge myself healed. I judge myself prosperous mentally, emotionally, financially, physically. I thank you for my salvation, eternal life, and I do that. And when he says that people don't rightly divide the word, or they don't rightly do the body, the Lord's Supper, when Paul referenced this is, people take communion, and I'm not a fruit inspector, but I've just heard other people say this. You know, they're being attacked in their body by something, like with their knee or something. And someone after service, and they just took communion, and they say, well, how's your knee? Well, it's killing me. That's what Jesus is saying, Paul's saying, and Jesus said, that's how serious he takes it. That's why some of you are weak and sleep early. It's not that God's always trying to get something to us. He's always trying to get something to us. And I love the example my pastor has always used. God's got a shovel this big, we got a shovel this big. And he's always trying to get something to us. It's not that he can't, but Psalms 138 verse 2 says, he puts his word above his own name, it says. It's not that he can't, but you tie God's hands when you don't act in his word. It's not that he doesn't want to move. He just, he can't go against his word, because him and his word are one. So I just wanted to encourage you with that tonight. You know, that's, like I said, it's a serious thing. And so, praise God. That's what I sat out in the car, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to write this down, so I did. It's not what I'm going to teach on tonight, but praise God, it's blessed to be here. I know that you guys keep asking about my wife. I keep saying I'm the warm-up for my wife. My name's Phil Rapp. It's for a lot of you that don't know me. I'm a minister of the gospel. I am taking rabbinical studies, and I'm part of the same association that Pastor Jeff is part of, and that's ICFM, International Convention of Faith Ministers. Licensed and ordained through them. I'm of Jewish heritage. And my wife. So here's the deal. Marla was coming tonight, but LaDonna Taylor came into town because if you have an opportunity this week, and I don't want to tell you not to come to church, come to your church, get fed at your local church, but Autumn Assembly starts in Branson this week, Dr. Billy Brim's Autumn Assembly. And if you can go, Brother Copeland will be teaching probably Friday night, and usually teaches Saturday night. Well, no, Saturday night's the night to honor Israel. And I think I have some couple of my Orthodox friends that are coming from St. Louis. Ronnie Levy will be there. They'll talk about Migdal, an update on Migdal, the property by the Sea of Galilee that Dr. Brim has. And so with that, LaDonna Taylor came into town. She's a violinist, and she has a healing ministry by playing the violin, and the Lord, as she leads her, people get healed. So she's having a healing service tonight at our church. Last night, my wife was at a prayer meeting yesterday, and then she works, of course, for Pastor Larry and Dr. Loretta, our pastors, and he sent her a text at about 5:30 last night and said, oh, by the way, LaDonna Taylor, we decided, is going to have a service tonight. So she had every intention of coming, but her boss asked her, so she couldn't come. So you ladies give me a hard time. I apologize. I keep telling you I'm the warm-up act until she gets here. So she said, stop saying that because they're going to expect something. So anyway. So, but hey, thank you so much for the picture. Yes, I do love the Three Stooges. My wife is a Sephardic Jew, which means she's a Spanish Jew from Spain. And she's done a four-year extensive study of her Jewish heritage. And what is so awesome, God is so good, is we touched on Migdal and Dr. Brim having the prayer tower. She's going to have a prayer facility there and an educational facility in the Sea of Galilee. But with that being said, and take this off, it's getting a little hot. But with that being said, my wife did her study, and she's traced her, on her mother's side, the Magdalena side, that her ancestors came from Migdal, or Migdal, it's either pronounced either way is correct, but my wife's ancestors on her mother's side is from that same area, that same town. Mary Magdalene's from that same town. And what's so cool is I was there this past March in Israel. We were at Migdal, and they found of course, they had a replica. They had the original one that they found at the synagogue, the original synagogue. They found the stones, but they found the altar and stuff like that, and they have a replica over there. But what's cool is right across the street is a restaurant, Magdalena. Magdaleno, Magdalena is the same thing, same name. And there's a restaurant right across the street from the ancient synagogue. And I had my Magdaleno Family Reunion Kansas City t-shirt on. And I just put it on because I didn't feel like washing shirts. And you don't bring a lot of clothes when you go to Israel. You bring a little detergent when you buy some when you get there and you wash it in the night and you hang them out because it's so arid and, you know, and stuff like that, but I just lazy. I just put another t-shirt on. But what was cool was not only did Jesus teach at that synagogue, that was his main home base. He taught at that synagogue all the time. So Migdal was kind of like the Beverly Hills, they say, of Israel at that time when Jesus was alive. It was very, very predominant, very rich people. And then she also did a study, like I said, in the joke with the Three Stooges. I like the Stooges. My son likes the Stooges. He's 13 years old. We watch him all the time. We did watch him after the Blackhawks. I grew up playing hockey. But she's related to the Three Stooges, she found out. I come home from work one day, and I was on the road, and I travel for my job and my secular job, and I came home. My son was like, Dad, did Mom tell you this week what happened? I go, no. She goes, well, you know, she's doing the genie thing about a year ago. And I said, yeah. And I'm kind of walking in. I'm just getting in the house, and she goes, go ahead, Warren. And she goes, I go, what do you got to tell me, Warren? He goes, yeah, we're related to the Three Stooges. their mom's on mom's side. And I started laughing when I was walking in our bedroom. And I went, that explains a lot. And then I come back out, and he goes, Dad. And she goes, go ahead, Warren. And he, go ahead, might as well tell him. And she goes, and not only that, we're related to their Marx brothers. And I just went, oy vey. So, but then, like, back in the 1600s, the Rabs married into the Magdaleno family, so I guess I'm related to them too, but it is what it is. So, that's the connection with the Three Stooges. But I wanted to share some stuff with a little levity. I usually don't do that, but I felt like doing it tonight. Did I tell you the joke, the one about the two Jewish guys in the newspaper? Did I tell you that? So there's two Jewish guys, older Jewish guys, Murray and Irving. And Murray was always down when he got on, Irving got on the subway, and he goes, you know, Irving, why are you so depressed? Murray asked him that, and he goes, I'm reading a Jewish newspaper. He goes, it's depressing. He goes, that's just, it's not good. It's just not good. He goes, well, you know, I'll tell you what, try another newspaper, and, you know, see how it goes. Try it tomorrow. He gets on the train the next day, and Murray gets on the train. He goes, Irving, he goes, you're more Meshuggah. You're just, man. I read another Jewish newspaper. It's even worse. He goes, okay, I'll tell you what. Try it one more time, and we'll see how it goes. So he gets on the next train the next day. Murray does, and Irving's sitting there. He's smiling ear to ear, and he's like, Irving, he says, tried another newspaper. He goes, yeah. He goes, it's great. I took your advice, and he goes, I'm so happy. He goes, well, Murray goes, if you don't mind me asking, he goes, what newspaper did you read? He goes, Al Jazeera. He goes, the Arab newspaper. He goes, the Arab newspaper? He goes, yeah, look at the headlines. The Jews own everything. They have all the land, and they have all the money. What's not to be happy about? So I tried my joke. Okay, I'm teasing. So here's a couple other ones, and I'll get one to teach on tonight, but Jewish Mothers Q&A. So what is a genius? That's the question. And the answer is, to a Jewish mother, the answer would be an average student with a Jewish mother. What did the Jewish mother bank teller say to her customer? You never write, you never call, you only come to see me when you need money. And, here's another one. Why did the Jewish mother want to be buried near Bloomingdale's? So her daughter would see her visitor at least twice a week. I'm sure you heard that one before. So one last one I'll try. I'm not Don Rickles, I can tell. A Jewish doctor makes a great medical discovery for which the Queen of England decided to grant him knighthood. At the ceremony, she touches his shoulders with the sword. He is supposed to recite an ancient Celtic blessing. However, for all his medical genius, the doctor cannot seem to memorize the required Celtic words on the day of this very important event. The nervous doctor waits his turn as several others are being knighted before him. As he listens to one after another correctly recite the Celtic blessings, he grows more and more and more nervous. Finally, when he kneels before the Queen of England, and she taps his shoulders with the sword, the good doctor completely forgets the Celtic words and substitutes the first foreign words that pop into his head. Ma nishinata la ha la ale ha ze. And what means is, why is this night different from all other nights? It's one of the four questions the children ask at a Seder meal. So the queen's stunned. She kind of looks around. She's confused, clearly confused. And she looks at everyone gathered together, and she says, why is this night different from all the other nights? And the doctor went, that's what I was trying to say. So I'll leave it alone. All right. I'm going to teach the word. You guys are a rough crowd. Wow. I'm going to throw shoes at me here in a minute. I apologize. One thing that I have is Pastor Larry wanted first up me to tell you, Shalom, Eder Tov. That means good evening. And like I said, you guys are family, literally by blood, but also by blood because all of you have been redeemed. I trust everyone's saved in this room, correct? Jesus is Lord, right? Okay, amen. So we're all family. So he did write a new book on hope, and that will be going to the publisher next week. And so with that, it should be out within a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. So next time I come, I'll make sure I have some. This is something that he taught on, the Hebrew language. And I have some of those in back. We don't have sheaths, so pastor said, such a deal. So it's buy one of these, they're $5. They're usually like $12. But he goes, I didn't have a sheath and the fancy schmancy case, so $5 if you want when I have those in the back. So enough of that material. And there's other things if you want to look and things of that nature. So I'm going to teach tonight on Yom Kippur because we just came out of the holiest holidays to the Jewish and to God's people. So let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, I thank you for tonight for the blessing, Father God, and privilege of being able to share your Word. I thank you, Father God, that, Lord, each and every one here is good soil, Father God. I thank you that they have ears to hear spiritually the things that you would want them to hear tonight, Father God. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, as a vessel and as your servant and your child, I thank you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, got a lot of ground to cover tonight, so I want to touch on Yom Kippur. So we always hear the term, it's the Jewish holidays. Well, I kind of don't like that because technically I always explain to people, even Jewish people, and I was at synagogue because I still go to synagogue in St. Louis, and the rabbi... He kind of liked the way he presented it because I said, listen, I said, it's God's calendar. It's not the Jewish calendar. It's God's calendar. It's God's holidays. They're God's appointed times, which means a moed, means an appointed time or holy convocation is what moed means. And I said, and they're important not only to the Jews, but they're important to the church because if Christ redeemed us from the law so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, it's the kingdom of God, and you're going to be at a Seder meal in heaven. So you don't do it out of tradition, but it's good to celebrate, like, you know, Christmas, for instance, the birth of Jesus. Now, we could sit here and split hairs, and I got a teaching on that, and it's not for this time, but it's important to do that. It's like being a, you know, the United States citizens. We celebrate the 4th of July, Memorial Day. There's nothing wrong with these holidays. It's to remember. We know that what Jesus has already done. But it's important to know Pesach. It's important to know why. Because the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament because the apostles, when they were writing the New Testament, and Paul, you know, Peter, James, and John, all of them, they were quoting the Old Testament. 1 Peter 2:24. What did Peter say? By the stripes of Jesus, you are what? Healed. That's Isaiah 53. That's what he was quoting. And, you know, people were like, well, that was the old, that's the New Testament. That was that, you know, when the church started out. And I have a question. Are we still, Jesus come back yet? No. Well, we're still in the New Testament. Yeah, right? So I always said, this is what I said to a couple of Jewish people at the synagogue. I said, these are God's holidays that he gave to the Jews to administer. And I took it one step further. I said, but also to the Jews or the Christians because it's your heritage. It's your rights. It's what, you know, I want to know everything there is about the United States of America. I do. I want to know. Right? I'm a citizen. So, like I said, they're God's holidays. So we had the first of Elul, and that was August 23rd, and we had a moed at that time because we had the solar eclipse. And Jesus said, you'll know the end is near, and Peter referenced it in Acts. But you look to the heavens, correct? And you'll see signs. And then on the 20th of September, which is the 29th of Elul, was Rosh Hashanah, which is God's new year. And then the 9th of Tishri was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which was September 29th. September 29th or 30th, and because it's always 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. But that's, you know, the Day of Atonement, most holiest day to the Jewish people, and I'm going to teach on that tonight. And then we got the 14th of Tishrei, 10 days later, and we have Sukkot, and that was October 4th. So Shana Tova, that's how you say Happy New Year, Shana Tova. And What a way to start God's new year with having communion, the first time I get to fellowship with you guys. That's why I kind of wanted to do that. So some things to know, lay a little background. So on the first of Elul, very important to the Jewish people, but also to the church. Because on the first of Elul is when Moses went up to Mount Sinai for the second giving of the law. Okay? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it was the second giving of the law. So he was up there for 40 days with the Lord again. And then on the 9th of Tishrei, exactly 40 days later, or the 10th of Tishrei, he comes down because it starts on the Erev, on the evening. Jewish days start at sundown, the sundown. So he came down on Yom Kippur, and God said, you have now been atoned for the children of Israel and their sins with the golden calf. Another important thing, not to get ahead of myself, but just laying a foundation, you'll see how it makes kind of ties in on the teaching. But on the first of Elul, when Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights, that was the first of Elul, and he came back on Yom Kippur, and that's when he started his ministry, and he was tempted by the devil. So these are appointed times. Very, 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 very important. You know, real quick, I'll read that. Matthew chapter 5. And it says, verse 17, don't think that I've came, this is Jesus talking, to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will not, by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Amen. So, in other words, Jesus was being obedient Jew, because he's the greatest Jew to ever live, but he's also the first member of this right here, the church, the new covenant. So, tying it all in. So, like I said, we just had Sukkot. I was blessed to go to my buddy that's an Orthodox Jew in St. Louis before synagogue, and he had a nice Rosh Hashanah dinner, and then we had a dinner before the fast, because you fast on Yom Kippur. And my family and I, and any rate, good stuff. So, we're going to start with, I got so much, so I just don't want to, I want to be sensitive at time, because we did communion. So, Rosh Hashanah was the Feast of Trumpets, where the shofar is blown to let everyone know that God is King of the universe. It's also when God opens the book of life in heaven. So he opens up the books. And the holiday is, no one knows the day or the hour. And that's in 1 Corinthians, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And it says, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be shall be changed. So, in a moment of a twinkling an eye, we shall be changed. So, I said Shana Tova, but also you can say Kativa Vachenamatima Tova, which means may you be sealed in the book of life forever. So, a greeting for Yom Kippur, again, is Gemar Chadama Tova, maybe you sealed in the life of the book for good. And the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippurim, and it really means a couple things. I wrote this down, the Day of Covering, Canceling, Pardon, and Reconciling. And everything, like Pastor Jeff said, every holiday, even communion to the church, is a type and shadow of what Jesus has did for us, came and fulfilled. But again, I'm so grateful for our forefathers that fought the Revolutionary War, and everyone else that sacrificed their lives in any war that we've had in the United States. And we honor those men and women that sacrificed, whether they gave up their lives physically or their time. We honor those. Why wouldn't we honor our Lord and Savior? I mean, same thing. So, repentance in Hebrew is teshuva. So, you want to keep that in mind. And so the Day of Atonement, you can read it. It's in Leviticus chapter 16 and explains in detail how God wants the Jews to administer that. So it's the holiest day of the Jewish year, and it provides prophetic insight regarding the second coming of Mashiach, or Yeshua HaMashiach, meaning Jesus. And it's the restoration of the nation of Israel and the final judgment of the world. It's also a day that reveals the high priestly work of Yeshua. In Hebrew, you say high priest, you say Kohen Gadol, after the order of Melchizedek. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 10 it says, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and it also says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, it says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest or Kohen HaGadol, forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So let's look at Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. And it says, seeing then that we have a high priest, or we have a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we have obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And I thank you, Lord, that I was obedient tonight to study that, because I know that, okay, I'll be obedient, sir. And that's exactly what Pastor Jeff was talking about, communion. When I sit there and I say, okay, I just personally say I forgive everyone and anyone, because when you stand praying, Jesus, God always says what? Forgive others, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. And that we may come boldly. Jesus was tempted in every way we were tempted, whether it was a financial situation, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to commit adultery, fornication. I mean, he was born human, left his deity in heaven, but was in all points tempted, just like we are, but was found to be without sin. But I love this so much because, again, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. You know, he understood. And what is he when we mess up and then we repent, what does he do? He makes intercession for us, does he not? He's kind of like our lawyer. Our high priest. That's what the high priest and, you know, Yom Kippur. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's what they did for the Israelites. That's what Jesus is like. God, I know he messed up. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, this is talking to the church. It's applicable. First, he's talking to the church, but he's also talking to the unsaved and to the Jews too. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? And Jesus is sitting there at the right hand of the Father saying, no, you know, I'm telling you, you know what? Phil messed up. But at the end of the day, Lord, I know, you know, we know his heart. And praise God for his grace. Praise God for his mercy. Praise God that, again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I don't care. But praise God we can have Yom Kippur every day in our lives as a church. The Day of Atonement. You know, when we mess up, don't run from God. Never, 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 ever, ever run from God when you mess up. Run to him. I mean, I've done it with my own parents. I learned that from I'm the youngest of six, so I took a lot of mental notes. And my dad always kind of gave me his own wisdom. And my dad, I don't know, there's a movie, and to describe my father, it's called Along Came Polly. I don't know if any of you seen it, with Ben Stiller and the very quiet Jewish father, bald. That's my father. He was bald, fought World War II. My dad was very quiet, but when he said something like that movie, you probably wanted to pay attention. My brother-in-law, is my brother-in-law Tony, my sister married an Italian. But at any rate, it's a joke. So he always had a lot of respect for my father. He said, you know, I love my mother and father, and his mother's still alive, but his dad went home to be with the Lord, my brother-in-law. And he said, but you know what? I've always respected my father because he was one of those guys, a real quiet, very personal guy one-on-one. But when he said something, you kind of wanted to listen. And that's how I describe my dad, you know, got some great advice, Ben Stiller's friend, and all he could say was, "Dad, dude, I've known you my whole life, and I didn't know your dad even didn't even know he talked. He missed the whole point. Got to pay attention." But but we can come boldly, and we're tempted yet without sin. And Jesus is constantly, he's constantly making intercession for us. He's constantly going to Father. Praise God. Praise God for that. You know, that's why David, he knew that as much as he messed up, you know, in the natural. He messed up big. For all intent and purposes, he should have been stoned to death multiple times. I mean, he committed adultery. What happens when you committed adultery under the old covenant? You got stoned to death. Then he murders somebody. What happens when you murder somebody? And I taught on that at the ICFM conference, and maybe coming up I'll teach on that about obedience, sacrifice. But with that, praise God that we have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, because he's empathetic. But sympathy is not the right thing. That's what we want. That means they get in there and it's like, "Oh, you poor thing." First off, that's wrong vocabulary. Christ redeems from the curse of the law. It's part of the blessings according to Deuteronomy 28, prosperity, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. I'm not poor. Jesus became poor, what? So that I can become what? Rich. Amen. But empathetic means, okay, I get it. I know you messed up. But as Christians to each one another, when we kind of share things with one another, empathy is way more important to operate in that vein than to be sympathetic. But here's the key. Here's another nugget. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, in the time of need is, yes, if you've got a diagnosis from the doctor, and praise God for doctors, and I encourage you to go to doctors because they're part of the plan. Praise God for modern medicine, but they can only go so far. And when they tell you you got 2 days to live, I consider that a time of need. And I think if you need a financial miracle and the lights are going to go off or whatever, and you go to God, and that's a time of need. And real important when reading the Word, God, first off, know who he's talking to. Is he talking to the Jews, the church, or the nations, the Gentiles, the unsaved? But we can learn from all of that. And it's applicable to our own lives. Just like this right here. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, if you need a financial miracle, that's a time of need. One interpretation of the word, many different applications of the word. So we have that new covenant of Jesus and his blood being able to go and boldly before God's royal court in heaven right now, when you got a time of need, say, "Father, you know the situation I got." And God loved us so much, according to Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God does what? He delivers us what? Out of them all. And that translates into original Hebrew. I got teaching on that, but not for tonight. But that means even the things we've caused to bring upon ourselves, the stupid things we've done, the wrong choices we made, his mercy endures forever. Hadulat onaiki tov kilam chasto, Psalms 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen? Means his mercy is going to go on even after this world's gone. Even when we're in heaven, that mercy keeps going. Forever. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, if you got a need, you can come boldly into the throne of grace, saying, "Lord, I'm saved. I know I missed it. I repent. I ask that you forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." But you know what? Jesus touched on it and says, you that are, you know, pretty much unsaved or, you know, not worthy as parents, how much more your Father in heaven take care of you? Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, Jesus even said that himself. And that's what he was talking about, a type and shadow. Praise God. So the term Yom Kippur is actually written in the plural in the Torah, and it's Yom HaKippurim. And perhaps because the purification process cleansed from a multitude of transgressions, iniquity, and sins. However, the name also alludes to two great atonements given by capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And as I touched on before, whenever you see capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, that is the most holiest name of God, and it's Yud He Vav He, and it's only spoken on one time by the high priest to the Jews even to this day. And it was so cool. Going to Yom Kippur service. They're long. You go in the morning in 6 a.m. and you get out at sundown. You get at sunrise and sundown. You're in synagogue. But you hear them say it. And it's the most holiest name of God. For the first of those things among the nations who turn Yeshua for the cleansing of forgiveness and the second purification of ethnic Israel from Yom Adonai, the great day of the Lord and the end of days. And why can we come boldly into the throne room of grace in a time of need? Because Peter said it, knowing the old covenant, being a Jew, and explaining it. He said in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people." Doesn't mean that we're weird. We're just different. Because we don't think like the world thinks. Praise God. And how do you get rid of that out of your life? Romans 10:17. So what does it say? So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing. And hearing's like kauchu and it's cut in the Greek. And hearing of the word of God. You mutter it. Peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes. Praise God. That's why you can go boldly into the throne of grace. We're a royal priesthood. Yes. You're a priest. You're a prince. You're a prince. You're a princess. I'm a prince. You're a princess. That's what that means. We're royalty. And you know what? Guilty is charged. We need to start acting more like that as the body. Not that we're better than anybody. And and we don't stink. You know, no, that's not. That's arrogance. And God resists the proud. Pride's that's another teaching unto its own. But God resists the proud. But we're of a royal priesthood because of what Jesus did and the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that's in us than he is that what? Of this world. Amen? So Kippurim can be read as Yom Kippurim or day like Purim. That is the day of deliverance in the book of Esther. I encourage you to read that because she saved the nation of Israel. One woman being obedient and her uncle being obedient to God. And it looked like, again, they really came into the boldly into the throne room of grace in the time of need, and they were under the old covenant. They really came boldly into the throne room of grace. Glory to God. And two people, one against the grain, and she was obedient to her uncle. And she knew that if she said the wrong thing to go to a goyim, an unsaved king that she was married to, that it could get her head lopped off, but she was bold enough to do that. Praise God, because you know what? God's told you to do something. I love what you said earlier in the service. You know, if he's called you here, fine. If he's called you somewhere else, be obedient. But get planted and rooted and grounded. Now, we're not in competition. This is not a competition. Amen? So, since all of this through Jesus, we are eternally delivered from the hands of our enemies. And Yom Kippur was the only time when the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies and call upon the name of Yud Heh Vav Heh, that's that capital L-O-R-D in your King James or whatever version of the Bible you have, but always, I always write Yud Heh Vav Heh. That reminds me that they're talking about the most holiest name of God. And there's a teaching on the 13 attributes of God and his mercy and his names, and there's 72 names of God. There's a teaching I have on chesed, which means the love covenant, and that's 72 in the gematria, and that means a lot when you add Jewish words mean something, and they come with the same numerical value. Like I taught on menorah with esh, and menorah comes up to 301, fire and menorah. There's a lot of meanings to that. Praise God. And then they could access those teachings on your, I'll let you talk about that at the end of service. I don't want to butcher that, but it's on Grace and Faith Fellowship, my teachings. You can access them if you choose to want to find out more. So in the second creation story, Genesis 2:4, God is revealed as the sacred name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And it means, from the Semitic root, that means to be. I am that I am. Did he not say that to Moses? And he said that to Abraham. Who are you? I would ask the same question. Like, what am I dealing with here? And he said, I am that I am. God's cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to be able to say that. Who are you? I am that I am. That's pretty cool. Amen. One thing I want to back up. I'm a stickler. I'm a teacher. My last name means Rab, and that means the same thing as rabbi. It means teacher, leader, chieftain, prophet. But I dig and dig and dig. But you notice it said at the end of Matthew 26 when he said that they sang hymns. And one of the hymns I guarantee they sang, and we touched on that before, is they sang Hanei Matovu Gam Naim Shevet Akim Gam Yachad, Psalms 133. I guarantee it, because you sing that at a Yom Kippur service. You sing it at it's appropriate to sing at a Rosh Hashanah service, a Pesach service. And it's talking about unity. And we're out of the body, right? And we have to be jointly fitted together, right? And another thing, and the Lord's been on me with this, and I touched on it at the ICFM conference at the first of Elul when I was there. The rift's got to stop, folks. Schisms have got to stop in the body of Christ. Yes. I mean, you may not like it because I wear a tie, but you know what? I do it because that's just what I feel I need to do. But I don't judge anybody if you don't wear a tie. You know what I'm saying? Just goofy things. And it's like, well, my church does, you know, again, got to walk in love. Doesn't mean you let people walk on you and abuse you and trample you, common sense. But what I am saying is we need to get the schism out of the body. Enough's enough. Yes. Enough's enough. I mean, I get to see Jesus sitting up there with God sometimes. He does make intercession. It's like, oy vey, you know? Oy. But, so it comes from the Semitic word Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, to be, and expresses the idea of God's closeness to humans. In other words, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh breathed into his, Adam's nostrils, the breath of life. Genesis 2:7. He to offer blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. Life for life principle is the foundation of the sacrificial system and marked a great day of intercession made by the high priest on behalf of Israel.